activities and recreation with your family, but even those sometimes can pull at us and can speak into our lives and can be a distraction for us. And so that's the challenge. Even if that we all want to hear from God, and we have the challenge that the voices are great and serve as distractions at every turn, but we also have an assurance. Hey, if I want to hear from God for my life, if I want to hear God's voice so that I can sense and know His direction, if I want that for me, how much more does my Father want that for me? See, I'm not striving after something. I'm not trying to beg God to speak into my life. I'm not trying to convince God to give me direction when He doesn't want to. Oh, no, it's actually quite the opposite. He yearns and He longs to speak into my life. He longs to speak to you and bring direction to your life. And so I'm not battling against God. I'm not trying to twist His arm and convince Him to do something that He isn't already disposed to do. But no, His heart is towards me. His heart is towards you. His plan for your life, He wants you to know it. He wants you to hear His voice. So we're already ahead of the curve, just knowing that my desire for God's direction in my life is in perfect alignment with His direction and His purpose for my life. And we can take comfort in that. So as I was preparing for today, I had this question kind of rattling through my brain. And I'm going to try to attempt to answer that question a little bit. The question is this. You know, Ron, why is this such an important topic? Why does this even matter? At this stage of the game, why does this topic even matter? Well, it matters to me. I'll speak for myself, and hopefully it applies to you as well. It matters because one of the marks of spiritual maturity, you see, that's the goal. The goal is not just to get saved and drag ourselves pitifully across the finish line one day. The goal is as we come to Christ that we grow and we mature in Him. And one of the marks of spiritual maturity is that we learn and we develop this ability to hear and to discern and to know the voice of the Lord. The scripture says, "My sheep know my voice." Now, sometimes we have to tune in. Sometimes we have to block out other things. But one of the sure signs of spiritual maturity, not only as an individual, but even for the body of Christ as a whole, one of the signs that we're growing and maturing in the things of the Lord is that we have the ability to hone in and block out other things and zero in and discern and know God's direction for our lives. So that's why it's so important. If it's ever been important, I would say it's important today. I mean, just look at your own family. You're not doing family the way you have for quite a while. I mean, this is all new territory for all of us. The church, the body of Christ, is having to walk in a very discerning way so that we make sure, well, we can't make any assumptions. We need to be a mature and growing and disciplined body that we can hear and know and hone in on God's voice and God's direction. That's why this is such an important topic. If you will remember, those of you that were a part of the previous messages in this series, you'll remember, but for those of you who haven't been, I'll bring you up to date just a little bit. So far, we've looked at this idea that God speaks to us and God speaks in our life. He gives direction to us in a variety of ways. We laid a very strong foundation on the very first week, and we said the most fundamental way that God speaks to us is through His Word. Actually, I could go on to say that His Word is the only objective way that He speaks, because every other way that God might speak and bring direction to your life is subject to the authority of God's Word. If we sense that God is saying something to us or trying to bring direction into our life, and that thing is in contradiction with God's Word, it doesn't line up with what God has already said in His Word, well, let God's Word be true. And let my feelings and let that subjective thought that I have bow to the lordship of His Word. His Word is sovereign. And so the most fundamental way that God will ever speak to us is through His Word. But we also understand that there are some situations in life You're not going to be able to read in God's word whether you should take job A or job B. And so God's word will speak to us in profound and principled ways that lay a foundation through which we can filter all of the various other ways that God might be speaking to us. And so sometimes we need something specific. Sometimes God's word is silent on whether you should marry this person or not marry that. But sometimes God's word is not specific on a particular issue that we might be facing. He gives us the foundation. It gives us what we need in order to filter all of these other things through. But God's word is fundamentally the only objective way that he speaks. But that doesn't mean it's the only way he brings direction to our life. We also learn that sometimes he can speak with a gentle whisper. It's not always in the clamor. It's not always what's in the flashiest. It's not always where the glitz and the glamour are. Sometimes it's with a gentle whisper. Like that whisper in your ear that says, this is the way. Go in that. That gentle whisper. We also said sometimes God can speak to us through pain. Boy, I don't think we realized how prophetic that one was. But it's through pain and through difficulty and hardship that God can speak to us and bring direction to our life. He also can use people. He can use people. I think God would choose quite often to use discerning and godly people to speak and bring confirmation of things into our life. But you know what? God can even use the ungodly to bring direction and confirmation. So sometimes God will use people. Another way that God can speak to us and bring direction to us is through a prompting. It's more than just the whisper in the ear. It's the hand in the middle of your back giving you a shove. It's that prompting. I think I need to do this. A prompting. And then the last time that we met on this particular series, we talked about how God, if we're in tune with him, and if our heart is geared toward it and aimed towards the things of God, the scripture says, if we'll delight ourselves in him, he can even give us the desires of our heart. Sometimes God will give us direction and speak into our lives through God-given desires. Now, I think we firmly established that not everything we want to do is necessarily God's will. But if we're in tune with him, and if our will is subject to his will, God can place within us the desires that he has for us. And then find delight in fulfilling the desires of our heart. And by the way, as we mentioned also previously, these various subjective ways that God will speak into our life, they're not necessarily exclusive. It's not one or the other. Sometimes they'll go hand in hand. Maybe you have a God-given desire, or what you think is a God-given desire rising up in your heart, and so you'll submit that to some godly people that you trust. And so now we have desire and we have godly confirmation coming hand in hand. And so these things aren't necessarily exclusive and operating independently, but as a child of God, with our heart turned towards him, we just have to know that God's going to orchestrate the circumstances of our life so that we can hear him clearly and receive the direction that he has for us. So with all of that said, that was kind of the foundation. That was the reminder to bring us all up to speed. So with all of that said, today I want us to understand that there's yet another way that God can and quite often does speak to us and bring direction to our life. And that is very simply through opportunity. Opportunity. Some people would say an open door. Now, we got to be careful when we get on this one, because some people adopt the attitude that if there's an open door, if there's an opportunity presented to me, then that must be God's direction for my life. Well, I think before we get into that and before we run wild with that, because you know there are a lot of opportunities we have. There are a lot of things that are presented to us and situations that are brought to our attention that we need to pray about it, that we need to discern, but it may not necessarily be. Just because it's an opportunity or a chance for you to do something doesn't necessarily mean that we're supposed to. So as we get into, and as we dig into this topic of sometimes God will direct our lives and speak to us through opportunities or open doors, I want to look at two observations from Scripture. Two different observations from Scripture concerning open doors or opportunities. The first observation is this. Observation number one. Not every door, not every open door, not every opportunity is the Lord's direction for our life. And so we have to hold on to things and ideas loosely and remain discerning and flexible. Not every open door is the Lord's direction. Some people would say it this way. Not every good opportunity is a God opportunity. Not everything that's presented to me as an option is necessarily God's direction for my life. There are some times when your personality or your education or your network of friends, there are some times when opportunities will be presented to us simply because of those things. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's God's direction for us. God doesn't intend for us to walk through every door that is presented to us. Not every open door is God's direction. And we have some scripture that can illustrate this. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I want to read verses 5, 6, and 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the believers in Corinth. The Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian believers. 16 verses 5 to 7 says this, I will visit with you after passing through Macedonia. And perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now just in passing. I actually hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. If the Lord permits. So Paul's intention, Paul's desire was to go and spend some time. After passing through Macedonia, on his way to his next assignment, Paul was hoping, he's actually not just hoping, he was actually planning. He says, I will visit with you. His plan was to go and spend a considerable amount of time with the Corinthian believers. He says, I just want to settle down and bless you and let you bless me. And let's network together. I know you can be a blessing to me as I continue on with God's will for my life. I might even spend the winter. Let's just spend some time together. That's what I'm going to do. And then he couches this intention of his by saying, if the Lord permits. Well, all you've got to do is fast forward to the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. We're not going to turn there, but all you got to do is look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and you realize this plan of Paul, it never came to pass. As a matter of fact, it even got to the point where those Corinthian believers, essentially what they were saying is, what happened? You were supposed to come and spend some time with us. You were going to settle down for a while. And we were going to network and you were going to encourage us and we were going to encourage you. You told us you were going to do that. I would almost venture to say that Paul says, go back and read that letter again. I said, if the Lord permits. See, that's an important thing to keep in mind when we're talking about open doors, when we're talking about opportunity. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Boy, there's this opportunity for me to go and spend some time with you there in Corinth and encourage you and let you encourage me. And man, let's just settle down. Let's just love on each other for a while. That sounds like a great opportunity if the Lord permits. That's the key, if the Lord permits. See, God may even place something in your heart. He may give you a true God-given desire, but it might not mean you're supposed to walk through it today. You may not even walk through it next week. You may not even walk through that open door next year. It might be for the next decade. I know there have been times in my life where God has given me what I know to be a God-given desire, a real heart for something. And I'm just, and sometimes if I'm not careful, and I don't know, maybe you're not this way, but I am. Sometimes if I'm not careful, when I sense what I believe to be a God-given desire, and that opportunity and that door seems open and available to me, oh man, I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm ready to pack and move on and just get it done. Man, this is God. God's opened the door. God's given me an opportunity. Well, maybe he has. But be discerning. It might not be for today. It might be God preparing you for something he has for you next year or in the next season of your life or ministry. So just hang on. See, that's why it's important not just to know the Lord's will, but to know the Lord's way. That not every opportunity presented to me is right now. And a matter of fact, God may even give us a burden or a desire for a particular thing or a particular ministry or some particular something in your life. He may give you a God-given desire or a real urge or a real leaning towards something only to bring it to your mind and bring it to your heart as a matter of prayer, because it might actually be something that God has for someone else. And so that's why it's so important to remember that phrase that Paul used, if the Lord permits. There's another example I'll point out to you from Scripture on this particular topic, where this idea that not every opportunity is necessarily God's direction for your life. I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, reading verses 6 and 7. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Look at this one. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, that sounds strange, doesn't it? I mean, they're traveling through Asia, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow them. Keep going. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Boy, here we are. We're this powerful ministry team. We're going through this area. Man, we just want to blast the gospel. And the Holy Spirit says no. That seems contrary, doesn't it? Now we really have this desire. We want to go into Bithynia and preach this gospel. And then the Scripture says, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. See, God had something else in mind. And we don't always understand that. Just because it's an opportunity, just because it's an option that's been placed in front of you, oh, friend, stay discerning, stay prayerful, stay mindful. Because it just might not be for right now. And truth of the matter, it just might not be for you. Just because there's an open door doesn't mean you're supposed to step through. I would ask you to take a look and think about your own life. How many times have you come to a crossroads or to an intersection of your life and you can either go this way or this way? And sometimes it's not even two options. Sometimes it's, well, I could do this, and then someone else called me and offered me this job, or I could just stay where I'm at and I could pursue this, or I could do this. And you have all of these options and opportunities in front of you. Try going through all of them. You'll wear yourself out. Try taking advantage of every single opportunity that comes to you. Oh, friends, that's how I know not everything that is presented as an option is necessarily God's direction. Just wait and stay discerning. Not every open door is God's direction. But instead, we must adopt the attitude the Apostle Paul adopted, if the Lord permits. But if we hear that prompting of the Spirit that says no, if we sense that prompting of the Spirit of Jesus that won't allow us, keep your own will, keep your own ideas, keep your own intentions subject to the Lord's will. If the Lord permits. If the Lord... You see, Paul obviously had Asia Minor on his heart, but do you want to know what was on God's heart for Paul? Rome. Paul saw Asia Minor is an amazing opportunity to preach the gospel. But in the heart of God, he's saying, no, Paul, I've got somebody else in mind for that. I've got another timing in mind for that. I've set you aside to go to Rome. Just because it's an opportunity, just because it's an open door, just because it's an option, doesn't necessarily mean that we ought to run haphazardly and without discernment into every single option that we have. There's a second observation that I'd like to draw your attention to. The first one, not every open door is necessarily the Lord's direction. The second observation, not every open door from God is easy. Not every open door from God is easy. Hey, you may even through the course of time discern, hey, this particular option that I have, this particular open door that is presented to me, this, yes, I've prayed about this thing and God has confirmed it to me and I sense His peace. This is really God's direction for my life. Well, if that's the case, don't make the mistake, my friend, that just because it's God's will that it's going to be easy. Don't make that mistake at all. Just because God may be presenting you with an opportunity, it doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. As a matter of fact, I would say, just prepare yourself. If you've really turned your heart towards the things of God, if you've really submitted your will to His, and if you're knowing that God is giving you specific direction in a particular area of your life, particular ministry or a particular thing that He's wanting you to pursue, if you know that, just prepare yourself. Because one thing you can rest assured of, one thing you can know for sure, the enemy does not want to see the kingdom of God advance. The enemy does not want to see you advance and mature and grow in the things of the Lord. So when we set our mind and our heart to follow after and pursue those opportunities that we know God has given to us, when we set our mind to be obedient and follow after the Lord's will for our life, when we do that, in essence, you've drawn a huge bullseye on yourself. The enemy does not like the advancement of the kingdom. The enemy does not like you growing in maturity and wisdom and experiencing the things of the Lord. He doesn't like that at all. And so go ahead and settle it in your mind. If this truly is God's will for me, if this really is God's direction for my life, I can expect it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be something that is smooth. Oh, man, God is in it. I know, man, I'm just going to be able to sail right through this thing without any opposition, without any difficulty. Wouldn't that be nice? Anybody who's lived for the Lord for any length of time, you know how ridiculous that is. Listen, and even not just the enemy, you don't even have to have the devil himself on your back. Just the hostility of a world that has turned itself to rebellion. Just the hostility of a secular world. Oh, listen, my friend, and unfortunately, I hate to even go on this one, but sometimes we'll even face opposition to the things of God right within the body of Christ. People get jealous, and they get there, oh, well, why would God use you that way? It ain't going to use me that way, and backbiting and gossip. God, and that's none of you. None of our LTCC people are that way at all. That's everybody else. But just understand, just because it might be God's will, it doesn't mean that it's going to be trouble-free. 1 Corinthians, back to that same 1 Corinthians passage again. We'll read now verses 8 and 9. This is Paul again writing. And he says, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, until this feast of Pentecost. I'll stay in Ephesus for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. A wide door, an open opportunity for me. It's obvious to me. This thing is so wide open, it is obvious that this is God's opportunity for me to take advantage of. It's obvious that this is God's plan. So I'm going to stay here in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me. And there are many adversaries. Isn't it interesting how he put both of those in the same verse? Man, God is in this thing. It's obvious he's guiding my life. He's giving direction to my ministry. What a great and glorious opportunity. He's confirmed it. I just know that I know that I know this is God's will. And by the way, there are many adversaries. So go ahead and settle it in your mind. When we decide and turn our heart towards the things of God and he confirms that a particular opportunity or a particular open door is really his will and his direction for our life, go ahead and settle it in your mind. It's not going to be smooth sailing. There will be opposition. And the reason it's important for us to understand that on the front end is because when we begin to experience that opposition, when we begin to experience that pushback, if we don't have it settled in the first place, what will happen is our mind will say, oh, I must have missed God. I must be out of his will for my life. This can't be God. With all of this hardship I'm experiencing, with all of this pushback, I'm having to work too hard for this. This can't be God's will. No. You already settled in your mind that when you pursue after God's will, when you hear his direction and you follow after it, when that happens, go ahead and get ready. You're going to get some pushback. You're going to have some adversarial situations that come up. And because you know that in advance, when it happens, now it's not serving as a deterrent. Now it's serving as a confirmation. I knew this was coming. It doesn't surprise me. That old devil, he fell right into the Lord's trap. He thought he was going to get me discouraged by opposing me. All that does is strengthen my resolve. I'm just going to dig my heels in a little deeper. This is God's direction for my life, and I'm not going to be dissuaded. I'm not going to be deterred just because I'm experiencing some hardship. Now, I want to wrap this up by pointing out seven ways that we can know. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. Maybe you could come up with a different list, a better list even. You can add to this. But these are the things that were drawn to my attention. The question is this, so how do we know? If not every opportunity is God's open door for us, how can we know? If even following after God's will sometimes produce difficulty, how do we know? That's a great question. And so these are some things that I want to draw your attention to that might help us answer that question. How can we know if this open door is really God's direction? The first thing, if you're thinking about how you can honor God, you're praying about how you can honor God, and something specific comes to your mind, or you get a specific invitation to do something. So you've been saying, Lord, I just want to honor you. I just want to serve you. I just want to be of a blessing to the kingdom. I just want to follow after your will for my life, Lord. I'm not sure exactly what that looks like, but my heart is to honor you. And then your heart begins to turn, or your attention begins to turn towards a particular thing or a particular ministry, or you're open to do whatever. As long as it's God-honoring, you're open to do whatever and an opportunity is presented to you. Sometimes that can be quite humbling, actually, because if we're not careful, we will think pretty highly of ourselves. We all fall into that trap. Oh, I'm going to make myself available to God, and he's going to use me. Pastor's going to ask me to speak every other Sunday. And, I mean, you're just ready to go, man. And instead, the opportunity, you have a heart. You really do have a heart to serve and to honor God. Instead, the opportunity that's presented to you is to come and help clean on a voluntary basis. Okay. But if you've turned your heart towards him and a particular thing is drawn to your attention, you have a certain leaning towards something, that might be one way. And by the way, it's not automatic, but that might be one way that God is helping to confirm whether that opportunity is his direction. Another way, a second way I want to point out, upon exploration, upon digging in and doing some research or inquiry, upon exploration or inquiry, the idea, whatever this opportunity is, it seems feasible. Even though it may not be easy, it seems feasible. well, you know, I'd have to rearrange my schedule. I might have to adjust some things here or there. We might have to find some additional resources. We might have to recruit some more people. But this is doable. We can do this. We can do this. So you dig in and you're researching. You know what? As impossible as this seemed a week ago, or a month ago, or a year ago, this thing just keeps coming back to me. So I'm going to do a little digging, a little bit of research. I'm going to find out if this is even feasible. And you say, you know what? We can do this. We can do this. Hey, we're not where we want to be as far as our technology with Facebook Live and all of that. But did any of us think a month ago that we would be doing this? And so when we had the opportunity, rather than just saying, well, let's just trust that everybody's reading their Bible on their own, they said, well, here's an opportunity that we have. It ain't going to be easy. We're going to have to pull some things together. We'll have to use some technology today that we don't want to be using a year from today. But we can do this. We can do it. It's feasible. We can make this happen. So that might be one way where God shows you that an open door just might be his direction. A third way. There's a third way that I want to talk about. A third way that we might be able to know if an opportunity that we have in front of us, this open door, is it really God's direction? The third way is you have a sense of peace about it. You have a sense of peace about it. It doesn't, now notice what we're not saying. We're not saying you have all the answers. We're not saying you have all the details on exactly how it's going to work in every possible situation, but you just have a peace. We can think of it this way. The peace of God serves as the umpire to the will of God. You think about that thing and it might scare you, but the peace of God is still there. You start digging and trying to find out all of the details and all of the ways that it might just work out, and you start getting intimidated. You think, man, I don't know. I think God's in it, but man, I'm getting a little nervous. And then all of a sudden, the peace of God settles in. The peace of God is one way you can know. One way you can know. Is this opportunity God's plan for my life? Is this the door that he would have me to walk through at this particular stage, at this particular time of my life? Even if all the details don't make sense to you, sometimes God will confirm just by giving you peace. The peace of God. There's a fourth way that we can know if this opportunity we have just might be an opportunity that God is presenting to us. The fourth way, you sense that God would be pleased. When you think about that opportunity and you think about that open door and your participation in it, and you step back and say, now what would God think about this? Is this something that if I pursue this, is this something that if I follow through with this, that God would be pleased? And if you can walk away from that and say, yes, I think that this, my involvement in this ministry or my walking through this opportunity, if I do that, I just think God would be happy with that. Well, now that seems quite subjective, but as a discerning and as a maturing and growing child of God, remember, you're learning to hear his voice. You're learning to discern. You're asking him for wisdom. And as you think on that thing, if you just say, you know what, I just know that this would make God happy. This would please the Lord. We see an example of this actually in Scripture in Acts chapter 15, verse 28. Acts chapter 15, verse 28, it says this, that the leaders in the Jerusalem church, they were making arrangements and they were making sure that all the right people were in all the right places doing all the right things in the early church. And they made a decision, and this is what they said about it. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. When we want to pursue, this is what we want to do, and it sounds good to me, but more importantly, it pleased God. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit that we do this. So one way that you can sense and one way that you can try to discern whether that opportunity is God's direction, would it please God? Would it please God? the fifth way. I want to look at a fifth way that we can discern and try to know if that particular opportunity we have just might be God's direction. This, the fifth way, you receive confirmation from godly people that you can trust. You receive confirmation from godly people you can trust. Now, the temptation on this, if we already have a desire, if we're already wanting to do something anyway, the temptation is to say, I wonder who I could go talk to that would agree with me. We pick and choose who we talk to because we know we're going to get the answer from them that we really want to hear. Instead, what we ought to do is lay that thing, number one, before the Lord, and secondarily, a group of folks that we know we can trust, people that will tell us yes if it is a yes, but people who will come and say, you know what, I don't think so. I don't think this is right for you. And we don't like to hear it, especially if we already want to do that thing anyway. But when we lay that thing before, we lay it down, number one, before the Lord, and we say, if the Lord permits. But number two, if we allow other people, people that we know, people that we trust, people that we know, they're in tune with the Lord and they want only what's best for you in the things of the Lord. Lay it down and say, help me pray about this thing. Help me discern about this. This is an opportunity I have, and I have a certain leaning, but I want to make sure that I'm not off base. Now, just to be very honest with you, in my life, I have several people that I talk to and confide in, whether it's everyday mundane decisions or even the big decisions of my life. But the primary person that I rely on in that part of my life is my wife. Number one, I know she loves God, and I know she's discerning, and I know she has my best interest in mind. But I also know that if I miss it, her and everyone else in the family is impacted by that. And so we submit that thing to people that we know love God and love us and are going to give us God-given direction and wisdom and confirmation, even if it's not necessarily what we want to hear. But sometimes it's, yes, you know what, as I pray about this and I help you pray and discern about this, man, I sense the same peace about it that you do. I sense the same direction that you're sensing. Yes, praise God, be confirmed. And so lay that thing before godly people that you can trust. The sixth way that we can try to discern if an opportunity presented to us is God's direction is if you have an internal enthusiasm. You have an internal enthusiasm. You know that even if you walk through that door, that the challenges are going to be great, but you're still excited about it. You're not discouraged by the thought that it might not be easy. Instead, what happens so many times when God gives you that internal, man, I'm just excited about this. Let's do it. Come on, I'm excited. Well, you know, it isn't going to be easy. Well, I understand that, but I'm still excited. I'm enthused about this thing. Let's just do it, man. I'm happy. Yeah, let's move on. Well, you know, there'll be some challenges. I understand that. I'm taking that into consideration. I'm still excited. As a matter of fact, what happens is when those kinds of situations, it's like a built-in assurance that God gives you. Oh, I understand it's going to be tough. I understand it's new territory for us. I understand we may have never walked this way before. I understand we may face some shortcomings in resources and personnel. I get all of that. But man, I still have this internal excitement and enthusiasm. I just sense that it's a God-given desire. As a matter of fact, it's not just that. It's more than just a God-given desire that's putting blinders on, refusing to see the obstacles. No. I understand they're there. But actually what he's done is he's given me an assurance. It's not just a willingness to overlook the difficulties. It's an assurance. Listen, God's going to take care of us. Because God has brought us to this point, he's going to see us through. I have an assurance, I have an excitement, an enthusiasm about following through with the work of the Lord. Amen? And then the final way, the seventh way that I want to point out. Again, I'd encourage you, pray about it, think about it on your own. Maybe God would bring some things to your mind, but the seventh way that I want to point out to you is that you sense and you see a grace on what you're wanting to do. That there's just a grace. that rests on. It's a favor of God that rests on that opportunity and that open door. What do you mean, Pastor, when you say that there's a grace on it? How can you know if a grace of God rests on that opportunity? When God's presence and the opportunity and the resources all come together. Let me say that again. When God's presence, that peace, when God's presence, the opportunity and the resources all come together, God's grace is on it. You sense that God is in it. You sense that God would be pleased. You have the peace about moving forward. The opportunity is there. It's a wide open door. God's peace is upon it. And then the resources to make it happen fall into line. It may just be that God is in it, that the grace of God rests upon it. But you know, just having a checklist of seven things and just understanding these two observations, even that doesn't make it easy. You're not going to be able to take this sermon outline and lay it as a template or a format in front of every situation that you face and use these various points as a checklist and automatically come to the end and know exactly what you should be doing. Because sometimes we're deceived by our own desires. Sometimes we're hearing what we think might be God and it might be something else. Sometimes we have an opportunity that may be for you to pray about and not to follow through with. And so there's so many moving parts and so many possibilities. So what's the bottom line? What's a practical way that all of this can work out? Because that's really what we want to know. All right, we got all of these great tips. We got all of these sermon outlines. Practically speaking, Pastor, how can I know? Number one, be prayerful. Be prayerful. God, I have this opportunity presented to me. There seems to be an open door that is before me, and I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to misstep. Lord, help me. Be prayerful. Be prayerful. The second thing, be careful. Be careful. Keep in mind, the heart is deceitful. Keep in mind, not everybody that you think is on your side may really be on your side. Keep in mind that the very real enemy that doesn't want you to mature and grow in the things of the Lord. Just be careful. Just be careful. And then finally, be hopeful. Listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? If you already have a desire towards the things of God, and he has an even greater desire that you know and follow through with his plan for your life, be hopeful. Listen, God's not going to leave you without direction. He's not going to say, I require you to find and to follow my will for my life, but you're on your own. Oh no, God is active and he's working. And he's more interested in you being in his will than you are interested in being in his will. He's not inactive. Be hopeful. God is at work in your situation. There'll be an opportunity you have today, and sometimes we'll get all discouraged because we think, oh, what in the world happened? I should have jumped on that while I had the chance. No, no, no. As a child of God, he's opening and closing. And he closed it because it's not for you. Be hopeful. That God that you want to serve, that God that you want to please, he is active and he's working on your behalf, my friend. So be prayerful. Be careful. Be hopeful. God's got a plan for your life. It might just come to you in the way of an opportunity. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful today. We're thankful today for speaking to us through your word. Lord, we're thankful that you have so many ways, a variety of ways that you can and do speak to us and bring direction to our life. And Lord, today, we submit ourselves to you. You hear our heart. You know our heart today. Our heart is to hear from you, to sense and to know your direction for our life, and then to have the ability and the boldness to step into it. And so, Lord, today we understand that sometimes you give us direction, by opening opportunities to us, by presenting open doors to us. Lord, don't let us be so blind as to think that every opportunity is automatically your direction. But Lord, also don't let us be so calloused that we would turn away from those things that you would have for us to follow. Lord, we ask for your help. We ask you to help us, Lord, as we grow and mature in you, that we would be discerning. Lord, that we would be prayerful, that we would take the proper care, but that we would maintain hope that you're on our side and you're bringing direction to our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The internet through email. Ladder down, Scott? Well, we left it up because we didn't know how.